This is React Podcast. I'm Chantastic. And I'm interrupting this hallowed space to personally invite you to my one-time-a-year event at react.holiday. It's 25 days of React-related knowledge, and it's my holiday gift to you. In the past, we've covered React development with classes, hooks, suspense, and this year, we're covering everything you need to know that isn't React. Modern JavaScript, JSX, HTML, and a little bit of DOM. Sign up for the newsletter at react.holiday, that's react.holiday, and get 25 lessons right to your inbox. Now, cue the music. This week on React Podcast, Tyler McGinnis and I take a stroll down memory lane and revisit the first few years of React and the modern JavaScript ecosystem. He shares what he's doing with UI.dev to help new developers grasp the entire JavaScript ecosystem and theorizes why so many React educators happen to be Mormon. This episode is sponsored by Honey Badger and Infinite Red. Let's be honest, you ship code with errors. Don't worry, I won't tell, I do the same thing too. Oftentimes errors get caught by automated or QA tests, but sometimes they don't. When you push code with errors and those errors make it all the way to the user, you want Honey Badger at your back. Honey Badger monitors and sends alerts in real time, providing the context you need to quickly identify and eradicate errors in your day-to-day deployments. Honey Badger gives you DevOps superpowers by combining error monitoring, uptime monitoring, and cron monitoring into a single, easy-to-use platform. And Honey Badger doesn't just have your back, they also alert you when external services fall over or background jobs start to fail, meaning that you don't have to jump around between alerting services to know exactly what the status of your app is. Get 30% off of Honey Badger for 6 months when you mention React Podcast at signup. There's no credit card required, just visit honeybadger.io. At honeybadger.io, you'll find the story of Star, Josh, and Ben, the bootstrappers behind Honey Badger, and why self-funding means your interests are always number one. Check them out at honeybadger.io. Infinite Red is your go-to resource as a React and React Native developer. They know React and React Native inside and out. Whether your company is Fortune 500 or fighting fortune for an open co-working space, Infinite Red can help you design, build, and ship quality apps, no matter your size. They've been doing it for over 10 years, and listeners of this show absolutely love having them as a friendly expert resource. Infinite Red will give you $750 when you start or refer a new project. Get expert React and React Native help at reactpodcast.infinite.red. Tyler McGinnis, welcome to React Podcast.
Hello. It's so good to be here. It's been I've been doing React for a while and I've never been on, so I'm glad we're getting through this.
It seems unfathomable that you haven't been on the show yet. I can only apologize, really. Like, I'm sorry that I haven't had you on the show yet.
It's okay. No, it's not your fault. I am kind of a recluse and just moved to the woods and didn't talk to anybody for years besides like creating content. So trust me, it's more me than you. And actually, funny story. Just because I'm in this whole content game too, I think I have the React.js podcast.
Oh, nice.
Twitter handle. you have the React podcast Twitter handle. It turns out React.js isn't cool anymore. It like used to be the thing, but now it's just React. Unfortunately,
who could have known, right?
If you ever want that, it's all yours.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's so funny.
I think I have React Conference. This is gonna like maybe people are looking too far into my personality now. Just because I mean you were there too in the early days. I think I have reactconference.com.
Oh wow.
Like obviously reactnewsletter.com, a bunch of I'm not super rich yet, so I'm hoping React gets even more popular so I can just dump all those just and retire. In.
Yeah.
But here we are.
You know, I wish that there was a more obscure name because like React is, you know, it's a pretty popular verb, right? And
it's totally, it's the worst, yeah.
It's like
active, I have even
right? Like if you named it,
yeah. Whenever I do live streams, which is rare, but if I do like a React live stream, mm-hmm. I always get trolls coming in because they think it's like a reaction video.
Yes,
like that's what it is. And those were like super popular, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so I always get people thinking like, what are we reacting to? It's just some like boring dude talking about like code. I'm just like, hey, please, like, I'm not trying to like moderate the chat as I'm live streaming. It's the worst. Anyway.
That is the worst. Yeah, I remember I was doing a podcast one time and someone was like, hey, like, you know, what do you react to? I'm like, oh no, this exactly. is a podcast. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm really sorry to disappoint me.
And then you're trying to explain like React isn't even like a, even from like a software perspective, that's not even a thing either. Like, we're not really reacting. It's not reactive at all. Right. So it's like the whole thing is just broken. The whole thing.
It's just this troll to like have this name that like no one can get like your really decent Twitter exactly. handles for and whatnot.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm kind of curious, like, what is, we talk about this on the show a bunch, but like what you have a war chest of domains, obviously.
Yes.
Whatever to your degree of comfort, like what's the one that you love the most that isn't activated yet? Like
we gotta, let me, hopefully I can look this up. Let's see. So yeah, I'm always way too transparent too. Like after I have conversations, I'll be like, I was probably way too transparent. So here we are. It's just me and you, Mike. So let's see what domains we have. My favorite one I don't talk about, I've tweeted about it once, is UX.dev.
Oh, nice.
I've never told the story of that one, but so we, obviously I acquired UI.dev for way too much money.
So you didn't get more, in on that on like the
No, of course not. No, of course not. No, of course not. Because I'm not the dude writing bot scripts in my free time trying to scrape these domains. So no, I didn't get in on the early access or whatever. And even at the time when those came out, I was like, oh, this would be cool to have one of those. But like, it was like the early access and they were like super expensive. And I was like, ah, screw that.
Yeah.
And then we started thinking about rebranding. I was like, oh crap, I should have done that. So I got UI.dev. And then before we actually launched the rebrand, I was just like browsing domain names as one does. Not even like normal domain names, like second market domain names,
yeah.
right? I feel like I'm talking to a therapist right now, but and so I see UX.dev and I was like, yeah, exactly. I see UX.dev and then and it was like $7,500. And then I was like, I can't have, like, imagine this. This is the scenario I thought in my head. Like, you're like, oh, cool, UI.dev, that's cool. Then you go, I don't know if anyone's ever done this. I hope so, because this is the thought I had in my head. Then you go, I wonder who owns UX.dev. You type in UX.dev, it then redirects to UI.dev. And that's the ultimate flex, right? Like, that's it. That was like the story I told myself to justify the price tag. Anyway, so I own both of them. I'll never use UX.dev, but let's see what we have here. My son's name, CoderCombat.com. That's a good one. That's not a bad one. There was like a Code Combat that went through like Y Combinator. And I was hoping for like years that they would get big and like throw me money. It never happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole like buying domain land defensively, it never pays off. Like, I think I've had one person ask me. Yeah. One person asked me
and they're like,
and they wanted it for free. So it's like,
exactly. And like, I'll give you $20. She's like, I've been paying $12.99 for this for a decade now, you know? Let's see. I'll go real quick. JavaScriptNewsletter.com. That's a decent one.
Oh, nice.
My wife's name's Mackenzie, but it's spelled a little bit weird. So I have herfirstname.com, reasonml.io. I can't believe we're doing this right now. I can't believe you suckered me into reading, which isn't even a thing now. Like, they pivoted. They like, it's a rescript or whatever. Yeah. It's like, that one's worthless now.
Oh man, I have to get rid of, I need to offload my reason domains then too. I totally forgot that they changed it to rescript.
Yeah, they're worthless now.
Yeah, I have like, I went through a period of time where like, because like people, you know, one of the only things that I've actually made in the world beyond this podcast is, you know, reactpatterns.com, which is basically like 10 short chapters on how to write React.
You, speaking of, no, hold on. I'm going to call you out here. You own learnreact.com. I don't think a lot of people know this, but I know this because I'm crazy and I like all these like React domains. Yeah, you've had that thing forever.
Yeah, I have. I think I bought it like, when I like the first, I think I might have programmed my first line of React code, and then I was like, I'm buying this domain.
Like, this is it. Because the thing is, I'm pretty sure I tried to buy it back in the day, and even that was taken. And that was before like ReactNewsletter.com was taken. Yeah. So like you were even earlier than I was. It's impressive. So,
oh man.
Anyway, sorry, keep going. I cut you off because I remembered you were the one who stole my LearnReact.com domain, which I would have never used. But
yeah, you know, it's so funny. Domain names. I feel like the Learn domain names are not ergonomic. Like, I think it's a nice thing to have, like in theory, but like, they don't sound good. They don't look good. Like when you try to like write it out, like L is a really weird character to work with. Like learn is an ugly word. Like it just doesn't work.
Yeah. And it's like, it's like whenever you're in a small town and it's like I'm in St. George, Utah right now. And so you can go to like St. George Landscaping Maintenance Company.com and they like try to like hijack the SEO for it. Yeah. And like it used to work in like 2002 and like now it doesn't really work as well.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's that same kind of thing. And it's just like a little bit like funny. I mean, like I have so many just stupid domains. I have, what is it? One of my favorites, cause it just every year it renews and I get a kick out of it is, the internet is algoresblog.com.
I like that. Yeah, that's definitely, you're going to keep sitting on that one. Yeah, yeah. That one's coming around. I can see it coming around sometime soon.
So I thought it'd be fun to just kind of talk about those early days of React. Cause you know, as you mentioned, like we were there when, you know, you could still get, you know, React real estate in terms of, you know, domain names and whatnot.
Totally.
I'm curious, like what are your first memories of getting into React and like really thinking like, This is going to be a game changer. This is what I'm like kind of staking my, you know, the next phase of my career on.
Yeah. So my secret is to find really smart people and just like copy or just listen to what they say. Like that's essentially like if you want to be successful, I really think that's the most underrated way to do it. Right. So 2014, probably mid 2014, obviously guys like Ryan Florence, Merrick Christensen, who's brilliant, like, they all started talking about this thing called React. At the time I was doing Angular, JS now. But you hear all these things about React. It's going like people are loving it. People are talking about how it's going to be the future. And it really doesn't like it only takes a few of those to be like, oh, there must be something here.
Yeah.
And then just like you, like I like creating, you know, blog posts and whatnot. So tried it out, loved it. And then at that point it was like, all right, well, clearly if this is going to be the future, I might as well just go all in.
Yeah.
With it, right? So that's when recruited Ryan to do React Week way back in the day. That was like March of 2015, which was basically, for those not familiar, I think it was like the first in-person workshop for React.
Oh, wow.
Like Kent Dodds was there as an attendant. A bunch of developers who are now like great developers were there because React was so early. So yeah, those early days, yeah, they were just, it was fun. It was like no one knew what they were doing. Everybody was kind of a new name.
Yeah.
Like there were no, it was just like the Wild West of development. Everyone thought we were kind of crazy and like weird for like, you know, like this whole like JavaScript and HTML thing. But we were like, you know, the rebels who were like, no, this is great. Yeah. You don't understand it. Right. You had this kid in Russia who was just like a brilliant blogger in Dan. Right. And he was just like writing these weird things. And then you had Sebastian who's like, oh, like higher order components. And everyone's just like, what is this? And then we all just like run with it, right? It was great because it was literally like no one knew what they were doing, but we all just did it.
Yeah, it's so funny. You mentioned, you know, Sebastian. It's like, it's so funny because I feel like Sebastian in particular, it's like, you know, we're a bunch of like front end devs that have never even heard a lot of these like kind of higher mathematical computer sciencey terms.
Composition. Exactly. Yeah, totally.
And it's like, yeah, Sebastian is just repeatedly kind of like just blown our minds with like, oh yeah, no, this is a, you totally. Know, algebraic effects. Like,
and we're just like, what is that thing? And we're like, we don't know what it is, but like, we know that it like, you do this and then you have a function or a component that returns another component and you just like throw stuff onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the best. This is the best time. Now it's like, it's still kind of like that, but it's much more like, and I think if probably for good, but like they're rewriting the React docs to be more like, this is kind of what we recommend. Yeah. Where back in the day, it was just like, no, screw everything. Do what you want, ship it. Like you had Ryan Florence just doing crazy stuff. And like, it was the best. So.
Yeah. I remember like the React docs. I think the first time that I went to them were, it was basically just that post that Pete Hunt wrote, which was like thinking in React.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then you're like, front end masters had kind of like a course by Brian Holt, who's great. And even if you look at that, I think it's long gone now, but I remember even trying to learn back then, and like ES6, the problem is ES6 was brand new back then too. And all the cool React kids were using ES6. So it's like, what the hell is this like import thing?
Yeah.
Like, what is this? And it's like, your brain didn't really know what was ES6 and what was React. And it was all just like great. Right.
Yeah. It was even different. It was like 6 to 5, right? Is that what the,
Yeah. Babel wasn't a thing. 6 to 5. And then that's another thing. Cause it was like this kid in Australia who was like brilliant too.
He was a literal child.
Yeah. Literally. He was like, I don't know how old he was at the time, but yeah, obviously super smart.
I think by the time he wrote Babel, I don't even know if he was like old enough to work in the United States. Like,
yeah, I think he was still like 17, 18, maybe 18.
You know? Oh, man. Oh, just nutty.
It was lovely.
So now, lovely. Do you remember the first React conference that you went to?
I missed out on the cool one.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get a ticket to that one. The GraphQL React Native one. I'm still bitter about that. I still am. I've been to all the other ones, but the one you actually wanted to go to, where it was like no one got a ticket unless you knew Ryan Florence and he was graceful enough to like lend you tickets. That's how it was. So first one I went to was, I think, the year after that one. It wasn't the cool one, unfortunately. Okay. But
that's so funny. So I was at that one.
I know. I could probably tell everyone who's there. Because I was so bitter because I was not there.
It's true. I mean, there were only 200 people, right? I mean, like, you could memorize a list that short.
Yeah.
It's nutty.
It was literally, this is why I'm still bitter to this day. They've obviously fixed this. But back in the early OG days, it was like you either knew one of the members and they like gave you a family ticket or a friend ticket.
Yeah.
Or you were screwed. And I was like in Utah, like trying to run the React newsletter, like, you know, Twitter and like newsletter, like getting all these secondhand things. And like, it was the worst. I'm still bitter about it, but obviously it worked out. But yeah, I heard it was awesome. Tell me about it. How was that first conference?
Well, it was great. You know, I actually got a ticket legitimately. So
did you from the raffle?
No. It wasn't a raffle then. It was like, they thought that there wasn't going to be enough interest. And so they were like, oh yeah, 200 seats is enough. Right. And so I was there like on midnight or whatever time it was. Right. I was there and I respect you more now.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I got a ticket and I'm
still bitter.
I knew it was going to go fast, but I didn't know how fast. And it was so crazy. Cause I was like, oh, maybe I should get one for my coworker. And like even just the amount of time to register my ticket to then try to get another ticket, they were gone. Like it was absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts.
My first one memorable React moment I did attend, thankfully, it was React Europe, I think, the next year.
Yes.
That's when Dan gave his Redux talk. You were there, I think.
Yep. I think that's where we met, actually, at the speaker dinner or something.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, probably. Ching Lu gave his really cool, I think that was his name, gave his really interesting talk.
Yep.
And I think it was the hottest. Do you remember this? It was like the hottest day in Paris ever.
Yes.
And they didn't have AC in the building because it's not the United States, which is, it's fine. It's fine. If you don't have AC, it's fine. But it was just really hot that day. And so I remember I was like jet lagged and like I was trying to drink like Coca-Cola to get like caffeine in me because I'm like falling asleep and it was so hot. But it was like there's so many brilliant people around and you're finally meeting all these people you'd seen on Twitter. And on like speaking and stuff, that was a cool moment too.
Yeah, it was super. It was a wild moment. I remember that was back in, I think, I want to say 2015. Is that about right?
I think so. Yeah, yes. July 2015. I think when it was.
Yeah. So July 2015. I remember that I was giving a talk on inline styles, which is like super.
You had stickers, right?
I had stickers. Yeah.
Did you pass out stickers? Yeah, of course.
I did. It was like, I think it said, my style is in line, but I wrote it as like kind of like a JSX element. I'll have to post a photo or whatever. It's still some of my best work, I think. Yeah, it's all in Comic Sans to really drive the knife in. The prop drilling one came out later, right?
The prop drilling sticker. I don't know. That was a later one. Oh, man. That was a good one too.
I should make a little collection of like these little stickers and like, you know.
Those are like vintage. It's cool now. It was cool then it was uncool, but now it's like cool because they're like vintage now.
Yeah.
Right?
All those laptop bins, like all those laptop tops have definitely been recycled by Apple at this point. Like they're long gone.
That is very true. That's very true.
But yeah, that was the conference that Dan introduced Redux, which is nutty.
It was just so interesting because being there, it was like, oh, this is cool. Like, yeah. I remember he like took time. He like quit his job for a few months and worked on it. And then he became like a celebrity, essentially.
Yeah. Well, he became like Dan Abramov as we know him today.
He became Dan. Exactly. Yeah. Well-deserved. But it was like, it was just so funny because it was literally just this like kid in Russia who just like had a funny little accent. He's super nice. And then he's obviously brilliant. And even before that, I think he was working on like React Router with Michael and Ryan.
Yeah.
And then he had his like drag and drop thing. Do you ever remember that?
Yeah. React D&D.
And it was like, yeah, I think so. And it was like way better than it should have been. The document, it was like a very Dan thing where you see it and you're like, who the hell spent this much time on like a drag and drop library? Right. And it was like, later it comes to find out it's Dan and it all makes sense. Right. Cause that's kind of just how he works.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was amazing.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, that was good times. I really did feel like kind of everything was ahead of us. And it was kind of before, I remember at the time it was Angular was massive. Like nothing was taking over Angular in our minds. And I think Ember was really like coming for it. Like it was pushing really hard and it was gaining traction. But then, you know, React came and it was just like, I think a lot of us just got it. Like those of us who had been, you know, using Backbone, using Angular, you know, experimenting with Ember, it was like, we got it. Do you remember what the moment was for you when you're like, oh, this is better?
The thing is, it really, and I promise I'm not lying. It was smart people are saying it's the best. So I don't even need to like think about it. Like I'm on the ship regardless. Like there are certain people. If Merritt Christensen tells me something is the best and it's the future, like GGs, because like game over, I'm getting all the domain names, I'm getting the handles, like that was it. So it wasn't even like I used it and I was like, oh, this is really nice because of like composition, yada, yada. It was like, oh no, Merrick says to use it. So like, that's good enough for me. Yeah, that's how I roll. It's worked out so far. So
I really like this as a strategy. Just like find people. And I think Kobe Bryant was kind of like popular for this, right? Too is like he would just, you know, see something that somebody else was doing. And he's like, oh, that's mine now. That's my thing. Like,
and he would just do it better than they did. Yeah, exactly. No, it really is. Even from like a life principles standpoint, like find people you respect and who are doing well and just like copy what they do. Obviously, like, not literally if it's like IP infringement or whatever, but like theoretically, right? From like a principal standpoint, it's worked out fairly well for me.
I like that. Who was it? I feel like there was a popular thinker. Either it was like Mark Twain or like Einstein or something said something to the effect of, you know, brilliance is
high. What's great is every quote gets attributed to those two. So you're good. It's probably one of those two.
Or maybe it was Jesus. Like, let's just cover my bases. Like one of the three.
Yeah, there you go.
Something to the effect of like how you... it could have been Gandhi. How like brilliance is hiding your sources.
Yeah. I like that. I can see that.
So I'm kind of curious now, like, so we talk a little bit about the past, but I'm curious, you pushed hard, like talking to that point of like doing it better than anyone else. I feel like you have really just gone full tilt on React and JavaScript and front end, like modern front end development.
Yep.
And I remember, I think at the time, like when we met at that conference, React Europe in 2015, I think you had like maybe one course on React Native on Egghead, or
you got that right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
something like that. And then it was just like the next, like by the next React Conf, you were like, you were all in, like you had courses, you had a strategy, like you had your branding and everything. Kind of tell me what that process looked like behind the scenes. Cause I think it's easy to think like, oh, this just happened overnight, but it's a lot of work.
Totally. It was a lot of work. Yeah. So you nailed it. I was doing stuff on Egghead, had a React Native course. And at the time I was teaching full time at a boot camp called Dead Mountain, which is like in-person traditional boot camp. Right. And I loved Egghead because they basically gave me my introduction to teaching online. The problem was I was used to very like, obviously I'm very long-winded, right? So I'm very, very used to like very long-winded 40-minute lectures, sure, right? For good or for bad. And then John and Joel were like, that's not a thing here because you got 3 minutes. And I think they've gotten a little bit better at that because obviously Kent's doing brilliant with Egghead. But at the time I was like, I really feel like I need longer to express what I'm trying to teach. They're like, just chop it up. And I'm like, I can't just chop it up. So decided to do my own thing, launched reactjsprogram.com. If you remember that way back in the day, that was, I think, I don't know, sometime in 2015. Did that for a while. Eventually pivoted that into just being tylermcginnis.com. Joined the React training guys for a bit. We'll skip that. We'll skip that section of the chapter. They're still great. Still love them. So eventually pivoted to tylermcginnis.com. Was doing courses at that time. Yeah, had a React course, modern JavaScript, advanced JavaScript, Redux, I think. So yeah, it's been interesting, and even like up to now, it's fun because it's a lot of education, a lot of content, but also, as we talked about before we started rolling, like a lot of weirder stuff that developers don't typically do, which a lot of marketing, a lot of growth stuff. So it's fun.
Why teaching? Like, because there's so many directions that you could have gone. You could have gone like consulting. You could have, you know, made applications, you know, freelance, like whatever you wanted. But like, you chose teaching. Like, why education?
Here's a fun thing no one talks about. If you look at your favorite, JavaScript teachers, probably 80% of them serve Mormon missions.
Yeah.
So let's go down this route, because no one's ever talked about this. Or at least like, I haven't heard anyone go. It's always been something in the back of my mind. Like, this is so interesting. Ryan Florence, Kent Dodds, Michael Jackson, Brian Holt, me. Wes is the exception. Wes Boss, Canadian. I don't think he served a Mormon mission, right? So basically what happens, we won't get obviously too religious here, but when you're 19, I think it's 18 now, you basically like, tell the church, the Mormon church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the long term, you want to go on a mission and basically talk about Jesus for two years. A bunch of guys get together, old guys, and they say, okay, he's going to go to this place. All my friends got called, you know, cool places, Brazil, like South America. I got called to San Fernando Valley, California.
No way.
Exactly. Which was like, I grew up in St. George, and there's a spot in San Fernando, like in kind of Southern California, where it's like 3 hours away from my hometown, which is like kind of weird being on a mission when I have like friends everywhere, right? So anyway, basically all you do for 2 years is like teach people about Jesus and also become an incredible teacher and an incredible salesman. You just don't really realize that's what you're doing until like you get home and you become older. And so learned to love teaching during my mission in San Fernando. And it was fun because it was... I taught people of pretty much every, in San Fernando, it's everyone, right? From all over the world. So loved teaching there, got home, started learning the program, and then figured out like, hey, I could basically take my love of teaching and then apply it towards like software, right? And it's this cool mix of like, I get to learn something and then I got to teach it, which reinforces the learning. You always hear people talk about that. And so I think it was really natural for me. And I think that's why so many return missionaries are teaching software, because you just get such a solid foundation for teaching. And usually it's not in your same language. Like I taught a lot in Spanish. And so you just get this love, you get a love of the people, but you also get a love of teaching. And so I think it really just stems from that. It's always funny because like so many of us are like former, you know, missionaries, right?
I'm glad that you brought it up, because I have definitely noticed the trend, but you know, it's like, and I've talked about it with a couple of you, but like, you know, not in a podcast before. So I'm glad that.
There we go. I've been holding that in for years. Like, someone needs to ask me about this. Cause like, it's one of those things where, it's like I think The Office was so funny because in like comedy, good comedians are able to like see things no one else sees, but everybody like is able to relate to it. That was one of those things where it's like, nobody sees this. Why is no one talking about this?
Yeah.
So here we go. I finally got it out.
You know, it's so funny. I've talked with Michael quite a bit about how I think that is one of the most, like I am not Mormon, but I think that is one of the best things that you can do for human development, like ever. That like notion of like mission
100%,
and like 100%. You leave your family, you go, you become an adult, you learn how to speak to people, and like you said, those secondary effects of being able to sell and be comfortable around people. Like, that's the thing that's wild. It's like, it just seems like after you go on your mission, everyone that I know that has gone on a mission, like is an adult who knows how to like have an awkward conversation with someone 100%. And just be comfortable in their own skin. And I love that.
Yeah. You're a machine when you get back, because for 2 years, if you do it right, for 2 years, you wake up at 6:30, no matter what. And then the thing is, there's not like, you don't have like people whipping you or something if you don't do it. You just do it because that's what you're supposed to do, right? So for 2 years, you wake up at 6:30, you study for 3 hours, and then you basically go knock doors and just help people the rest of the day. You go to bed at 10:30, and you repeat that literally every day, 7 days a week for 2 years. You don't talk to your family, like you're just focused. So you come back and you're just like this machine.
Yeah.
And like nothing has been harder than the mission. So I went through, ironically, right after React Europe, I went to London to go through Techstars for a startup there. And the first day they're like, oh, this is going to be so hard. Like you're going to be working so hard. And then it's like, oh, this is like very easy compared to the mission. And I think that's why like guys like Kent, who are just like absolute machines, because nothing is harder than that. But it's also you learn that like there's a lot of reward that comes from like these very difficult situations. And regardless of like your religious stance and like how you feel about the Mormon church or whatever, that's a whole nother conversation. But it's very true where you come back and you just have all these like very guiding principles, hard work, discipline. It works out.
So. Interesting. So now I know that the secondary effects of that have, you know, what's really interesting because, you know, like I have noticed that, like that just being like that drive, that like being a machine, like being able to just like put in the work. I'm curious how those other things have impacted your ability to create UI.dev and, you know, really continue to like sell and convince people and like push that forward from like a branding and marketing perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's tricky because like when I was, what's funny is Utah, there's a lot of like summer sales companies here and they go all over, right? Vivint's a big one because basically all these kids go on missions. They come back, they're used to knocking on doors. So they just go and basically instead of teaching about Jesus, they teach about like some stupid pest control company, right? Unfortunately. And so I think for me, it comes natural. I don't do a lot of like in-person sales, so it doesn't help me directly,
sure.
But it was more of just like the discipline aspect. Like, can I get up at a certain time? And we talk a lot about this. Even whenever I hear anything in this realm, I always message you because I know you find it super interesting. And even watching like your battle with it has been super fun too over the years, right? Where it's like, it's kind of like the war of art vibe, right? Where like, I don't feel like working today, but I'm going to work because I'm a professional and that's what professionals do, right? It's that same vibe. I think Seth Godin is one of our favorites too. He has a bunch of quotes about that. It was just that mentality of like, hey, I don't really feel like writing this blog post or like creating this video today, but it doesn't really matter how I feel because I can decouple my actions from my emotions and just get it done anyways, right?
That's interesting. Yeah, that is something I'm curious about your strategies for doing that because I think that there's no point. I grew up very lazy and I didn't have a point where, you know, I went through kind of like mission boot camp.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I am always fighting like lethargy and like it, like,
yeah,
like just whatever. Like I just never want to do anything.
Yeah. Resistance as a war of art. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious like what your strategies are, because for me, it really does come down to I need some type of like external type of thing. Like if I didn't have like, so we have the sponsors and they keep the show going for React Podcast because, you know, it's surprisingly expensive to, you know, produce a podcast that has, you know, transcript and, you know, whatnot every week.
Yeah.
But like for me, it's almost like the sponsorship is more than just like paying the bills. And it's like, I have to be responsible to someone else or like, I just, 100%. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So I think that's actually fine.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of how it is for me sometimes too. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think as long as you like acknowledge that and what's interesting too, watching your journey, I don't want to get too personal here, but like watching your journey of like, cause you kind of started a few things, they fizzled out and you start them again. And then, but the last few years, and I wrote you an email a few years ago, and I was like, hey, I don't know what happened, but like I've been loving your new like consistency, essentially. And I think for me, what happens, and it might have been the same for you, like you are the React podcast guy now. Like people wake up and they expect to see this.
Yeah.
And for everything, there's a lot of bad that comes with it, but the good of it is like there's an expectation and you have to meet that expectation. One thing, so I've been training for an Ironman the last year, basically this year. I was going to do one in Utah that got canceled, obviously. Now I have one next year. It's that same idea where once you make the decision to do the thing, right? Like you have like these sponsors and everything that are helping you obviously do it. But to me, it's like, I've chosen to do an Ironman. I know June 29th in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is going to come up and I'm going to have to race that day. And I either die that day or I have a good race. Right. And so it's like, I think if you can get to the point where you just make the decision, like every Thursday React podcast is coming out. It doesn't matter what's happening. Like that's the decision. The cliche one growing up in Utah was always like, if you choose to not drink alcohol, like make it one decision, then you never have to decide sure. ever again in your entire life. Right. But it's so true where it's like React podcast is coming out every Thursday, right? I'm having my race of June of next year. And like there, that's it. The decision has been made. So I get up, I don't think about it. I just do the thing. So I don't know.
That is super interesting. And I've been kind of obsessed with, you know, it's funny you mentioned decision, like, and mention it in such a like stark way, because I've been kind of obsessed with this, the word of like decision, like when you think about it and like the etymology yeah. of it, like kind of like an incision with a decision, you're like actually cutting something away. You're like saying, I'm deciding not to think about like that anymore. You know? So like with the alcohol thing, I'm never making, I don't want to have to think about this decision again. And so I'm making the exactly. decision, cutting it out of my life. And like, it's one less thing that I have to think about. It's like, you know, Steve Jobs and his, you know, black shirt and blue jeans like every that's day it. For his yeah, entire life.
I do make fun of people who do that though. I've only seen one person do it, and he was my friend, so I made fun of him, because like if I ever get to the point where my day is so like rigid that I have to wear the exact same thing every day, like just put a gun to my head or something, because like that's not the life I want to live.
Yeah.
With that said, that's the same principle, yeah. right, where it's like make a decision once, never have to worry about it again. Seth Godin, he always talks about this, and I think this is the quote I sent you, where he's like, a plumber doesn't wake up and have plumber's block. Like they're a professional. They just go and they just work. They're yeah. a plumber, right? So like writer's block doesn't really exist. You're a writer. Wake up. It's what you do. You're a professional. So like do it anyway. So yeah. I really like that.
I think that's really, it touches on something that's very important, which is to you have to disconnect from the outcome, or control over the outcome at least, right? If like totally. When you're a pro, you show up and you do the thing, and it may or may not be good.
Exactly. No, it's you have to get through the bad stuff. And at another, I don't know why this has become like a Seth Godin podcast. I just recently
the Seth Godin review stuff, podcast.
But he talks about how exactly. He talks about how you don't get to choose what you're famous for, and so like some of his stuff that he thought would be really popular,
yeah,
wasn't. And some of his stuff that like he didn't think would be popular became popular. Like you don't get to choose what becomes popular. And you don't get to choose what's good or bad. So you just write. Some will be terrible. Some will be good. And like that's how you get the good stuff, is by writing the bad stuff. And you can't decouple that process. And that's kind of how I felt about it too. Like some of my blog posts are terrible, but some of them are good. And I don't know if it's going to be good or terrible when I go into it. But it's that process of going through it that forces me. Basically, I can't get the good stuff unless I go through that process.
Yeah, yeah. Is there something that just totally surprised you? Like you're like, I'm just putting in the work today. And then it just blew up.
No. And I think that's the point of it. It's like, it's just consistent, yeah. consistently doing the little things, right? There's never been like a big moment. There's never been like I've just been doing this for years now, and you've been doing it too. And you've probably watched like React podcast slowly yeah. grow. And like, I wish it was like overnight, like, oh, we're famous now, but like, that's not how things work. Right. Especially in our space.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's just been slowly creating stuff for 5-6 years now. No, like one magic moment.
Yeah.
But things have just slowly started to grow. It's just compounding, right?
Yeah. I think it's a hard reality to live in, right? And like, I'm just yeah. being very frank, but like, I think it is kind of hard to just, you see a lot of like other people's successes. And I mean, I'll be totally honest, like one of the reasons that I said yes to taking on React podcast from Michael was to like combat my own envy of other people's success. I think that might be the first time I've actually admitted yeah. this, right? But like seeing other yeah. people be successful and then thinking like, you know what? Like I don't want to just be like rotten with envy about the fact that they're successful. Totally. And I want to support totally. That. And I want to get like be excited about it, like learn more about it. And I think that's been the journey for me of like really trying to suppress envy, because it's so easy to just, you know, sit in your room, do nothing totally. And then be like, oh, I could have been West Boss. Like he just like, yeah, exactly. why am I not? Exactly. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Like,
yeah. What? No, Wes is the perfect example, because it's like, he does so well. And I don't think people understand how well he does, but he does so well. And it's so deserving, because every day he gets up and he does what's important. At 5 o'clock, he hangs out with his family and he just does it 5 days a week consistently for the last 7 years, right? Nothing fancy, nothing special. He's this Canadian guy who likes barbecue, but he's so good at what he does because he's just been consistently doing it for 7 years now. So
that's wild. Well, yeah, that consistency, it's so hard because, you know, you show up every day and like the audience kind of like waxes and wanes, right? Like you might, you know, be, you know, like streaming can be so demoralizing because like you show up and, you know, one day someone's super excited about your topic. Yeah, like 100 people in there. But then like the next 15, you got one, you're talking to one person. And like really like waiting that out and like just kind of like growing it person by person is it takes a lot of resilience. It takes a lot of, you know, being okay with, you know, what you're getting and not being an overnight, you know, success.
Yeah. I think you just got to realize like everybody goes through that. Like Wes's first thing he did publicly was like a Sublime text, ebook.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I'm sure it like wasn't amazing from like a sales perspective,
sure.
But like he had to get the Sublime text ebook out so he could get React for Beginners out. So he can get like all the stuff he's doing, like the new advanced React stuff, like all the GraphQL stuff he's doing. Like you have to go through those first early days. And it's been fun to watch even too from our industry perspective. Cause like back in the day, there was like a handful of us creating stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Me, you, like Wes, like there wasn't that many like technical bloggers. It really wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
And then nowadays, like everybody's writing. And it's so fun to see that. But yeah, I know there are people who are like, well, write something, it doesn't get any views and like kind of give up. But like you have to write the bad stuff in order to get to the good popular stuff. So
I'm curious. So I know a lot of people are interested in content creation because it really does feel like an important part of being a developer, particularly an employable developer. It's an area where you really have to compete. And so I think we've covered that pretty well, but I'm curious, like, how does this apply? Like, how do you see this same thing applying to like the actual development skills? Because obviously you're teaching people regular development skills, but how do you try to encourage these like patterns and repetition and like diligence and resilience in like teaching people just the raw skills required to make websites?
Yeah, I think all of these things we've talked about, you have to look at them from like a principles perspective, because like even going back to like triathlon and preparing for the Ironman, it's all the same stuff. It's I started running, I sucked at running, and then I continued to suck at running. And then slowly, like that's what's kind of nice about it is with physical things, you can see, especially with like aerobic things, you can see a very gradual progression from the start. But with software, it's not, and even like content creation, it's not that black and white.
Yeah.
Where there is progress being made there, but it's not necessarily like you can't see that your miles, like time per mile went down, right? And so I think it really is just not getting too far into the weeds and focusing on the principle, which is just like law of the harvest, right? Kind of vibes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. And even with what's fun about this conversation is I don't really think about this very often anymore. Like this is the first time I've really like expressed all these like things in my head, because it kind of just becomes a part of you. And again, like you don't really wake up on Thursday morning and be like, oh, because of all these principles, like I have to do React podcast. Like, again, it just becomes the result of all of those things that are kind of like background processes. And this is like the output of those. So I don't know.
Yeah. I ask because like a lot of people that I talk with who are kind of like early on their JavaScript React journey. And I think that, you know, we have probably an overlapping groups in that way. People who are like just kind of starting out. And it seems like a lot of people are overwhelmed by the notion of like getting it right or like doing the right thing the right way and whatnot. And I know that I always just say like, just do it the wrong way a bunch. And I think you've been saying this, like you're going to suck at it. Like just keep sucking at it diligently and eventually you'll be good at it.
Yeah. It's embracing the fact that you suck at it, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is too, what I always try to tell people is people earlier on in their careers, it's like this never goes away, right? this feeling of like there's so much to learn and like there's so much to do, right? Like you still have it. I still have it. And like I haven't really jumped on the TypeScript bandwagon. And now it's like overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, am I out of touch? Am I like out of date? Like, so it's literally just the sooner you can embrace, like you're going to feel pretty terrible all the time as far as your skill set goes. But that's a good thing as long as you're progressing. Like, we're chill. We're good. Yeah. Like that's the thing you have to get over, right? Because it never, unfortunately, it never goes away.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you mentioned TypeScript specifically, because I have a friend, and I helped him, you know, learn initial React concepts to, like, you know, build this site. Shout out to Hugh Fort, because he knows that I'm talking about him anyway. And so I helped him out, and then he, just took off with it, like, just totally picked it up. And then there came a point where, like, he was asking me questions about TypeScript, you know, because he just... It was like at this point in his journey, there was enough resources that he could like go into that yeah. that I couldn't answer. I was like, I don't know. I don't use TypeScript yeah. every day. So like I can tell you how to use it in place of prop types, but like that's basically it.
Yeah, literally like, and being the owner and founder of UI.dev, like there's this expectation where it's like, I'm supposed to know all these things. I'm just like, I don't, like, I'm sorry. Like I'm pretty decent at React, like good at JavaScript, but like TypeScript, I really haven't dove into it, or even like there's just so many things. And I think I've just learned to embrace that, and it's fine. Same thing with you, like it's cool, like no one knows what we're doing besides like maybe Dan, and I'm still convinced he doesn't really even know a lot of the times, and we're all still here. So
yeah, I mean, even, you know, even Sebastian's still figuring it out.
Totally.
You know, I think I take a lot of, you know, solace in how difficult a time the React team has had bringing concurrent mode to market and marketing that well and communicating it well. And I mean, I don't mean that in a way to sound like, haha, like, you know, they're having a hard time. Yeah. Like, I don't mean that at all, but I mean, it's comforting to know that like the best and brightest people working on this, the thing that we consume every day, are figuring this out. Like they're figuring it out day by day. And like their problems are more, you know, higher level or lower level, I guess. Like they're trying to figure out lower yeah. level stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, everyone is like struggling to like get a little bit closer. We're at different points in that journey, but like we're all just kind of like learning a little bit more. And like that learning is like a Mobius strip. It just keeps going in perpetuity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good observation. And it's like we basically just do that and then we die one day. That's it. Right? And I think that's fine. Like that's it. Right? That's love a few people along the way, or like be kind to people, and then you die and you just learn your whole life. And that's like, I don't know. I just love, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but like I love that like do not go gentle vibe. Yeah. Right? Like let's learn, let's go full bore, and then we die, and that's fine. Because that's it.
Yeah. And so.
I got dark. I apologize.
No, it's true. I mean, like I feel the same way. It's kind of like that. We all have the same inevitable future, right? And
totally.
I think when you view it from that perspective, trying to find kindness in your life, trying to find opportunities to share, like gain friendships and have those conversations in a way that are like virtuous and bring everybody up, becomes yep. really one of the most important things that you can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
So I want to ask you a little bit about like what you're actually like. So I feel like, you know, we've gotten like 46 minutes in now and we haven't even talked about what UI.dev is and the
That's
work
right.
that you're doing.
Let's talk about it. I'll put on my salesman hat here. Yeah. Hopefully people are still listening. They didn't just cut it off when I talked about death. So,
like, whoa, no. I came here for JavaScript, bro.
Like, no, I came here for React. What the hell is this? Like, yeah, hopefully you're still around. So
tell me about UI.dev. What are you working on? And kind of like, what is in the pipeline for kind of, you know, I know you yep. like really turned it on, I guess. Sorry, I'm stuttering over my words because there's so many directions we could take it.
You're
but
good.
Like, I feel like you have been working in quiet for a long time, but then like,
is that a bad thing? So so here's my problem. Let's talk about this because I need someone to talk about this. Yeah. I'm glad you observed that because this is what I do all the time. I'll go years without saying anything and just like dump on people. And I don't know if that's a good thing, right? So I think the problem is I really like surprises.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like this weird thing. It's not even like, people are going to steal my ideas. Like, I don't even care about that. It's literally, I like surprises. So I'll like literally move to the mountains in Utah, which I did for years at a time, work on stuff and then release it all like in one day. So I think I need to work on that, to be honest.
That's interesting because I kind of feel the same way as you. And like, I know there's people like, you know, like Sean Swix Wang, he really talks about this idea yeah. of like learning in public. And
yep.
I want to be that person, right? Like I desperately want to be that
we
person.
We literally, we talked about it because like I have a friend, Alex, who works with me. We went back and forth for like months about this. Like, should we be the very public, like, we're like, yeah, we should be. And then we would never yeah. do it. It's like, maybe we just shouldn't be because like, we're clearly not doing it naturally, right? So I don't know.
It is hard, right? Like that balance is so difficult. And I'm like you, it's like, I want to turn everything else off, like sit yep. in a room for a month
focus.
And just iron one tiny little thing out, like, and just 100%. Be done, emerge, and then like start selling it. And I don't know, like, so I don't think that that's bad. I think that both of us naturally are inclined towards that, but I do feel like it's not how the industry works right now, which sucks for us.
It's disadvantageous to us, yes. we'll say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are. Let me tell you what I've been working on for 6 months. So we launched UI.dev. Basically, the reason for it, used to be TylerMcGinnis.com. What we're trying to do is, instead of being just a courses company, which historically that's what we've been in the past, like we have courses, you come, you take the courses, you enjoy them, and then you leave. What we're trying to create is something more of like an ecosystem for continuous learning, which sounds very jargony.
Sure.
But the idea is to, if you're a developer, there's more to just like your job than just taking a course, right? And the problem with the being a courses company is historically it's been bottlenecked to just my knowledge.
Yeah.
Which again, like for example, not super familiar with TypeScript. So if you want to learn TypeScript, good luck, because I'm not your guy, right?
Yeah.
Where with this new pivot, we're trying to get away from that. So what we're doing, and we launched this in July, I think, we have weekly events with JavaScript experts, right? Community members.
Nice.
So it's been great because we'll have people come in and talk about every aspect of the job, whether it's like Vue 3 that just came out, or I think there was one today about imposter syndrome, which is cool. Pretty much every aspect, right? So as a subscriber, as a community member, you're not just getting access to courses now, you're getting access to every week. We have someone coming in who's going to teach you something interesting.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
So there's that aspect to it, which is really cool. Then one thing we're launching, I think when this podcast comes out, it'll be live, is an entire community kind of around. What's interesting is like the vibe of this podcast about like growing and building and like overcoming resistance. Mm-hmm. Like that's essentially the community we're trying to build with developers. So we're launching a brand new community. We've been working on it for 6 months, focused on obviously supplementing the courses. So if you have questions about the courses, it'll help those. But really just, we want a bunch of people who are interested in growing and being their best developer self, even though that sounds cheesy. I think there's not a lot of, if you look at the landscape of developer communities, there's a bunch of really interesting ones. You have like kind of the toxic-y ones, which is like Hacker News Reddit. Yep. You have the very welcoming, but also kind of beginner-friendly ones in dev.2. And what we're trying to just build is a space for people kind of in between that, which is just to go, if you have questions, ask questions, but more just like we're interested in your career and your development, regardless of where you're at in your career, right? So that's the vibe. That's what we've been working on. And so really the way I look at the company is we have courses, we have events, and we have community, and all of those things combined to be like what you get access to as a UI.dev subscriber.
I love that.
That's my pitch.
It's crazy how much community is like the thing right now. And like I think a lot of people have been talking about these like cozy networks, right? Like you have mm-hmm. Twitter, which is just kind of like, you know, massive, you know, broadcast, whatever. But so many people are turning more towards like smaller groups of people, you know, whether 100%. That be like, yep. you know, Discord networks or like fan clubs or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're getting to a point where people really want that. And I love that you're tying that into the notion of like continuous learning, of like, we want to mm-hmm. help you along the way instead of just like, hey, you bought the course, like learn it. And then, you know, now you're magically a better developer.
Totally.
Go forth with your life.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I'm super excited for it. I think obviously the courses have done well, but there's always been like the other aspect to it, yeah. right? Like we had like a Facebook group and it's like, there's a lot with that. Like Facebook, the company.
Yeah, yep.
Facebook groups itself is just like kind of terrible. so we're excited. should be coming out week of. We're going to do a Black Friday sale. Speaking of as well, which kind of ties into the whole conversation we've been having, not to be too salesy, we hired Alex Anderson, who's a brilliant developer, 6 months ago. He's been working on a TypeScript course, so that's going to come out as well.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
So that'll be cool. So again, like, hopefully I solve the problem of if I don't know a thing, you can't learn it from me because we have Alex and he's way smarter than I am. So should be good.
Nice, nice. Again, continuing that trend of just finding smarter people than you and just bring them into the fold.
That's really the, exactly. That's really the my key to success. So
I love that. Well, hey, if people want to kind of get in on that, and I think if I timed everything right, we're going to be releasing this episode on Thanksgiving. So people will be listening to this like kind of during the, you know, or fall holiday, however you celebrate, like the time off that you have in the fall.
Yep.
We're going to be doing that then. So how do people get involved in kind of what you're going to be doing on UI.dev in terms of your Black Friday promotion?
I think just check out UI.dev. I'm not exactly sure what we'll probably do. Like I usually almost never do sales except for like once a year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a sale. I'm not exactly sure how much off it'll be, probably 25-30% off. But yeah, UI.dev. I'm on Twitter at Tyler McGinnis. I think that should cover most of the bases. So
nice. Nice. This was fun. This was super fun.
I had a blast. Yeah.
So. I'm glad that we got to spend some time talking about the past, because there's just so few people that were there at the beginning. I mean, like hundreds, right? That were there at the beginning of all of this, at least the community side of it. You know, it lived on in Facebook for years or whatever, but yeah, so it was good to kind of like just relive the glory days with you for a minute today.
It was very nostalgic. I had a lot of feels during it, but they were good feels. So yeah, absolute blast. Again, huge fan of you, as you know, huge fan of what you've done with the podcast. Couldn't be in a better person's hands. So.
Oh, thank you. That's mutual fans here. So I'm glad we finally got you on the show. Like
it's funny because we talked about, I've been here since the beginning and here we are 2020. I don't know what episode this is, but we finally made it work.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I
think it's because I'm not in the woods anymore. Like,
yeah, it's hard. You know, I really wanted to, you know, there's some people that I just really want to get that in-person energy, like, you know, like screw this latency.
That's fair.
And like, but
that's fair.
You know,
I'm with you.
COVID, it just kind of knocked those plans out. So we're adapting.
We'll do that too.
Just getting it done.
Next time I'm in Southern California, we'll get tacos, set up the recording right there, and we'll bust it out. So.
Can't wait. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Of course, man. Appreciate it.
This has been episode 120 of React Podcast with Chantastic and guest Tyler McGinnis. A transcript for this episode has been sponsored by me and will be available soon. If you'd like to support the show by ordering a transcript and have your name read into an episode of React Podcast, send me a DM on Twitter at Chantastic or at React Podcast. You can find the transcript, links, and show notes at reactpodcast.com/120. Thanks to our sponsors, Honey Badger and Infinite Red. When your deployments go sideways, you want Honey Badger at your back. Honey Badger gives you DevOps superpowers by combining error monitoring, uptime monitoring, cron monitoring, external service, and job monitoring all into a single, easy-to-use platform. One service. You go there. You know if your app's up or not. Give Honey Badger a try today. Visit honeybadger.io, mention React Podcast at sign up, and get 30% off for 6 months. Again, that's honeybadger.io. Infinite Red is your friendly expert resource for React and React Native. They've worked with developers and entrepreneurs like you to design, build, and ship quality apps. And they've been doing it for over 10 years. If you want some of that Infinite Red juice on your app or a friend's app, call them and they will give you $750 for the referral. Get expert React and React Native help at reactpodcast.infinite.red. If you like this show, there's a fast, free way to demonstrate your support. Leave us a review on iTunes. It's the best way for you to let me know what you think we're doing right and what we can improve. 2 to 3 minutes of your time helps us make the best show we possibly can. As always, links and show notes for all episodes are available at reactpodcast.com. This episode was edited by Mikhail Delport. It was produced by Mikhail Delport and Sarah Jackson at Spec, a network to help you level up in design and development. Check out spec.fm for other shows that are sure to fast-track your career. I'm your friend Chantastic. Thanks for listening. We'll be in your ears again next week.